أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما فإن مضت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي حتى تفيء إلى أمر الله فإن فاءت فأصلحوا بينهما بالعدل وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين. إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، this is verse number 9 and verse number 10 of Surah Al-Hujurat. The translation of verse number 9 is: if two groups from the believers are physically fighting, then bring about settlement between the two groups. If one of the two groups rebel or oppressed the other, then fight with that group that oppresses until that group returns to Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If that group returns to Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then bring about settlement between them two with justice and maintain justice. Verily, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves those who maintain justice. In this verse, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addresses the leaders of a Muslim country who has the military might and power to impose law and order. If there are two warring factions in a Muslim country, they are physically fighting with each other, then the government and influential people of the community or society must intervene and try to amicably resolve the dispute between the two warring factions. If both the warring factions cooperate well and good, then maintain equity and justice between them two. If anyone had oppressed one another, taken away the life of one another, then whoever oppressed must pay the blood money. And if both these warring factions do not cooperate with the government and with influential people of the community and society, then treat them like rebels. And if any one of them two do not cooperate, whoever does not cooperate, treat that particular group as a rebel. And the general rule of treating rebels would be that impose law and order on them, imprison them, disarm them, weaken them, so that their fitna and corruption does not spread on earth. That is as far as warring factions under a Muslim rule is concerned, and when a Muslim rule has jurisdiction over warring factions. But if it's a non-Muslim country where there are two disputing parties physically fighting with each other, then obviously such an order is not directed to a Muslim government because it's beyond their jurisdiction. But even in a non-Muslim country, if there are warring factions among the Muslims, influential people should intervene and try to amicably resolve the issue and address the issue. And even if they are not physically fighting with each other, then too, they should try to get in between and amicably resolve the issue. If they cooperate, well and good, address the differences and maintain a harmonious environment in their community and society. But if they do not cooperate, even in a non-Muslim country, there are two warring factions, they are fighting with each other, they are spreading corruption and confusion in the community and in the masses, then after exhausting all diplomatic avenues in trying to address the issue, if there is no success, then do not take sides on any side. Completely keep away. Because now that is fitna. Take for example, if there are two warring factions, they are fighting on one particular issue. Somebody is saying this is halal, somebody is saying this is haram. The one that is claiming it is halal, they prove their substantiations. The one that is claiming it is haram, they have their substantiations. And they are not getting around the table. Efforts are being made to get them around the table, but nobody is cooperating. Or whoever is not cooperating is following their method, following their desire. So in such a situation, do not take sides on either side. The one that's claiming halal, don't fight them. The one that's claiming haram, don't fight them. Because ultimately now, after assessing the situation, it is very clear and it is evident that there is nafs involved in that. It's creating fitna, and then that is very dangerous for one iman to side any particular side. Yes, on an individual scale, one should practice on taqwa, one should practice on taharat, on an individual capacity. Then the principle of Shariat is, إِلَىٰ غَلَبَ الْحَلَالُ وَالْحَرَامُ غَلَبَ الْحَرَامُ. But when there is halal and haram, there is a friction. Somebody is saying halal, somebody is saying haram. And there is some reason to believe that it is haram. Then in that case, it is a unanimously accepted principle that haram will prevail over halal. In such a situation, regard the item to be haram and abstain from it. So, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَقَتَلُوا. That if there are two parties from the believers that physically fight with each other, bring about settlement between them two. فَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. And if one of the two parties, they oppress the other, then fight with that party that oppresses until that particular party that oppresses return to the order of Allah. And if that party now returned to the order of Allah, then bring about settlement between them two with justice, maintain justice. Verily, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves those who perpetuate justice. Verse number 10, the translation is, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ. Believers, they are brethren unto each other. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So bring about settlement between your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. Fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So that you may receive the rahmat and the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In verse number 10 of Surah Al-Hujurat, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addresses a very, very important social issue. And that is to create a peaceful environment. An environment with love, justice and harmony. And in order to achieve that, we should be promoting love and unity among the people. Unity is emphasized in Shariat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala taught us in the Quran Kareem, وَأَتَّصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold firm to the rope of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That is the Shariat. Whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordained, whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to do, hold firm to that. That is the criteria of unity. And do not break up from each other. In another verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala reminds us about a great ni'mat. There were two tribes in Madinatul Munawwara, the tribe of Aws and Khazraj. For years on end, they used to fight with each other for small, small, petty issues. They couldn't see to each other. Whenever they would look at each other, there was always some kind of fight, killing and murder between the two tribes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and it is the Sharia, the order of Allah, the will of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought these two warring factions together. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Remember the ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. When you were enemies, you had animosity, you had rancor, you had hatred with each other. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala united your hearts. فَأَصْبَحُوا بِنِعْمَتِكُمْ إِخْوَانًا. And it is with the ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah has made your brethren to each other. From animosity, from hatred, now you have started being considerate to one another and started loving each other. Differences among people is a natural thing. No two human beings are the same. So all the millions of human beings, they all have different thoughts, different desires, different temperaments. So as a natural consequence of that, there are going to be differences. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two angels in the sky, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam and Mikael alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam is hard and strong, and completely opposite to him is Mikael alayhi salatu wa sallam, is soft. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there were two prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam and Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam was soft and compassionate, and Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam were hard. He made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, La tadhara ala al-ardi min al-kafirin ad-diyara. Only the single house on the face of the earth must be destroyed. Then two of my companions, one is Abu Bakr Siddiq and one is Umar Farooq radiallahu anhuma. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is soft, and Umar radiallahu ta'ala is hard. So there are two, always, you're going to be two people, two types of people. Somebody got a hard approach, somebody got a soft approach. So you have to tolerate and overlook this. When we look into the Quran Kareem, difference of opinion has been observed between the prophets of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam being the father, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam being the son. There was a dispute regarding one person having destroyed another person's farm with his cattle. Dawud alayhi salatu wa sallam issued a decree that the cattle should be given to the owner of the farm. But Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam's opinion was different. That give the owner of the farm the cattle for a certain period, when the owner of the cattle repaired the farm, then give the cattle back to him. So here again, difference of opinion. But these differences of opinion are not condemned, they are accommodated and they are facilitated. Immediately after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were also differences of opinion. Where to bury Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Some said, bury Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Baqi. Some said, in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala came in and he said that مَا دُسِنَ نَبِيٌ إِلَّا حَيْثُ مُتَّ أو كَمَا قَال, that the Nabi of Allah will be buried only in the place where he had passed away. Shortly thereafter, there were differences between Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Umar radiallahu ta'ala. There were some tribes who refused to give zakat. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said that even if they don't give me one string in zakat, I will wage war against them. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala told that it's not appropriate to wage war at this time and point, things are very delicate, very sensitive. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would not heed the call of Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said, at any cost I will wage war. But they both tolerated one another's view. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's opinion, as far as land that was conquered was, it was distributed among the warriors, among the Mujahideen. Umar ibn al-Khattab had a different view. He feels that all those lands that were conquered, it must be given in waqf. That is why the land at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, Baitul Maqdis, Jerusalem, when conquered, he didn't distribute it among the Mujahideen, but it is waqf from that time right up to today. Waqf, it belongs to entire Muslim Ummah, to you and I. Also, at the time of Abu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, there are differences in administrating the how to dispense the money from the Baitul Mal. Should all of them get an equal stipend, or should you give people according to their status? Abu Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he maintained equality. All the Sahaba, whoever they were, maintained equality, give them the same amount of money from the Baitul Mal. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the approach was different. He said that you must give people according to your status. Then you go on further, you look at Islamic history all the time. There were differences of opinion, but those differences of opinion were accommodated, they were facilitated. When Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala appointed Umar radiallahu ta'ala to be deputy, some people came up to him and told him, Umar radiallahu ta'ala is so hard, we appointed him over us as a khalifa. What are you going to answer to Allah ta'ala when you pass away? So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, when I go to Allah ta'ala, Allah asked me, that who did he appoint as a deputy, then I will say that I appointed the best of persons on earth. Difference of opinion, but with the greatest amount of respect they have for each other. Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi, according to him, to make qunut in the Fajr Salat Sunnat Mu'akkada. And from the juristic point of view, obviously there is no wujud according to Shalafi, but according to Ahnaf the wujud, so that Sunnat Mu'akkada according to Shalafi is tantamount to wujud according to Ahnaf. So to read Sunnat Mu'akkada in Fajr, to qunut in Fajr, is compulsory according to Shalafi. And the very founder of the Mazhab, Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi, when he goes by the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi, he doesn't make qunut. So somebody asked him, then why don't you didn't make qunut? He said, I feel ashamed being close to the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa, who did not believe in making qunut, and I insist on my view. So it is to that extent they tolerated the views of one another. If one has to reflect on our inception, who we are, where we come from, it helps us to bridge gaps. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. All people, you're not different. You're one, you have come from one mother and father. You have come from Adam and Hawa. Yet you are different in terms of tribe, you are different in terms of clans. But that is not for you to have disunity. That is only a mark of identity in order to understand one another. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madina Munawwara, his first effort was to bring about unity. The Muhajireen, they had a different lifestyle. Ansar, they had a different lifestyle. There is a riwayat in Bukhari Sharif, there are a difference once between Umar radiallahu ta'ala and his wife. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala's wife back chatted Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala was surprised. Oh, is this where you have reached? When you were in Makkah, you shouldn't do that. Now, in Makkah, the attitude of the men were, they were dominating the women. And the women, they have a say in the men's affairs. But in Madina Munawwara, the attitude of the Ansar was different. They were soft-dated people, and then the women were now dominating the men. So obviously, women will meet up with women, they will be influenced with each other. So the women from Makkah Mukarramah, when they came to Madina Munawwara, so they started staying with the Ansari women. So they saw the Ansari women controlling their men, they said, why can't we control our men? So that whole change of mizaj, it affected them with the environment. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala told to his wife, oh, is this where you have reached now? So you started back chatting me. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala's wife told to him, what are you talking about me? So see, your own daughter, what she is doing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a lengthy hadith, but the point that I'm trying to illustrate is that differences between the Muhajirin and Ansar. But when they came to Madina Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promoted unity. And one way of doing it is, Afshu salama bainakum. You come from diverse backgrounds, different ideology, different philosophy, different culture, different thinking, different temperaments, but one common factor, assalamu alaikum. Irrespective of who you are, caste, color, creed, black, white, whatever it may be, you say assalamu alaikum, you brought about love and unity between them. And it is this that exemplified in a very united front in Madina Munawara. You look at Madina Munawara, the diverse culture. On one side Muhajirin, the other side Ansar, completely different cultures, but all of them are staying as brothers. Then you look at Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he came from Habasha, totally different background. Suhaib, white person, come from Rome. Salman radiallahu ta'ala, another diverse background, he come from Persia. You look at Abu Zar, he is from a totally different tribe from the tribe of Zifar. You look at Adas radiallahu ta'ala, he comes from Namwa. And you look at Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he comes from those. Now, among the Arabs, the tribes, there were very big tribal differences among the Arabs. And for all of them to be united under the banner of Islam was indeed remarkable. And it was that Nabi Sarsam promoted this love and promoted this unity among the Muslims. To have differences and to be fighting, having enmity, that is completely resented in Islam and abhorred. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam limited it and he said, it must be for people to get angry, but control your anger for 3 days. لا يحل للمؤمن أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاثة أيام. Or كما قال, not call for a person to abandon his brother for more than 3 days. If 3 days, the human nature, you must give vent to your anger after that. But within 3 days, try to cool off. When a fellow is very, very angry, let him cool off. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. But after 3 days, if he's still angry, that means nafs ke andar kharabi hai. Something wrong with your nafs. By human nature, 3 days time you must cool off. But for more than 3 days now to still have it in your heart, that is very, very bad for a person's nafs. And after that, you should start. That is why it is mentioned that on Mondays and Thursdays, a person's amal is presented to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The two people who have enmity and ill feeling against with each other, then their amal are suspended. You can make a greater amount of ibadah, tilawat, zikr, everything. But given the enmity between two people, then all your amal, you bring it for the pleasure of Allah, that is going to be suspended. You remove this barrier first. Maintain a good relationship with each other, and then it's going to go up by Allah Ta'ala. Laylatul Qadr, one of the things that Nabi has mentioned, Allah Ta'ala accepts, forgives everyone. Two people got shahana, who got ill feeling with each other, their ibadah is not accepted, and their issue is also suspended. So it's very, very important that we try to bring about unity and we try to limit our differences with each other. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ وَسُوْ أَذَاتُ الْبَيْنِ فَإِنَّهُ الْحَالِقَةِ. Avoid ill feelings. But that shaves in one hadith, Nabi also mentioned it shaves. I don't think it shaves the hair, it actually shaves your deen and iman. And we notice sometimes there's ill feeling with each other. You don't enjoy your ibadah, you don't want to do anything, because there's ill feeling in the heart. So every possible effort that we made to remove it. To the extent, in one hadith Rasulullah has mentioned, if there are two people disputing differences, leave aside all your nafil, actual everything, bring about unity between these two people. That is better than performing nafil salat, better than giving nafil sadaqah, or better than doing nafil rawah. The reward of that is greater. And also to bring about unity between two people and to avoid that, the importance of unity, it is even permissible to speak lies. To bring about unity between two people. So one go, you go praise one person falsely, praise another person falsely, just to bring the hearts together and bring about unity. It is to that extent the Shariat and emphasize on bringing about unity. Sometimes what happens is that we don't understand one another, and that leads to more confusion and more problems. Once, Hadhrat Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, he and Shaykh al-Hind Rahmatullahi, at that time he was a student, they went to Delhi, and few other students of Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, they went to Delhi. So, one of the students of Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullahi said, tomorrow morning, Fajr namaz, we're going to read in Lal Masjid, Lal Qila, Red Fort in Delhi. We're going to read about Fajr namaz there. So Shaykh al-Hind, Rahmatullah Ali, that time being a student, Mawlana Qasim Mahmudi, Rahmatullah Ali, formerly studying, said, we can't go there, because there the Imam is a Bareilvi Imam. So how do we read Fajr namaz there? Mawlana Qasim Mahmudi, Rahmatullah Ali, interjected, and he said, that now we are going to go there. Now imagine, you speak about Bareilvi Deobandi, but look at what, what was the attitude of our Akadirin. How they went to bridge gaps? So they went and performed Fajr namaz. The Imam Sahib is performing salah, when he makes salam on the right, he sees salam on the left, he sees a great Deobandi ulama behind him. So out of shame, he goes and meets up with Mawlana Qasim Manoti, Shaykh ul-Hind, and all the ulama that were there. And he told to them, that I thought that you'll have differences with us, and you'll hate us, and you're not going to perform salat, but I'm quite ashamed today that you're at salat behind us. Yet, I'm the one that issued fatwa of kufr against you. So Mawlana Qasim Manoti Rahmatullah says, that we appreciate to issue the fatwa of kufr because it's based on your jazba of iman. You thought we hated Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so based on your jazba, we appreciate it. Because you love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and based on that you issued a fatwa. So that is something we appreciate. Only one complaint we have against you. You didn't come and ask us directly. You should come and ask us whether we love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or not. And we would have told you the reality of it. Look, we put a great amount of love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if you don't believe us, listen to the kalima now. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He felt so ashamed, and immediately they breathed the gap and they started understanding one another. Once in the presence of Mawlana Shaykh Tanwir Rahmatullahi, one person spoke about Mawlana Ammar Raza Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, little derogatively with little negativity attributed to him. Now, Mawlana Ammar Raza Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he issued fatwa of kufr against Mawlana Shaykh Tanwir Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Obviously, the person that should be most effective would be Mawlana Shaykh Tanwir Rahmatullahi Alayhi. But when a person's nafs is made, when their soul is done, everything is, now it's not nafsaniya. They address the issue and they don't bring the nafs in the matter. So Mawlana Shaykh Tanwir Rahmatullahi Alayhi immediately reprimanded the murid and told to him that he's also an alim of deen. Why do you say Ahmad Raza Khan? Why don't you say Mawlana Ahmad Raza Khan Sahib and attribute words of respect towards him? He may have differences. He issued a fatwa of kufr based on academic understanding of me. So that doesn't mean that you must attribute disrespect to him. This is how our akabirin, they have conducted themselves. There were differences, but with differences, they also maintain respect for each other. So, in this verse, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about maintaining unity in the old Muslim community and the Ummah. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. The believers, they are brethren unto each other, so maintain sulah and settlement between your brothers. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِيَا اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, so that you may attain the rahmat and the mercy of Allah تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Normally when there are differences of opinion, and even in a control, from a small issue, if we don't know the adab or etiquette of managing differences and tolerating differences, sometimes a small issue can be blown out of proportion and become very, very big. One person met the shaitan, and shaitan started complaining to a person, I know why people swear at me all the time, I don't do nothing wrong. So for this person, they were surprised, because the fountain is of all evil is shaitan, and now shaitan is acting like a farishta and saying that I didn't do anything wrong. So a person asked the shaitan, what do you mean? Because if you are shaitan, you are the fountain of all evil, how are you absolving yourself? He said, I'll demonstrate it to you. I'll show it to you. I'm no way to be blamed. Everybody do everything wrong and they attribute that wrong to me. Now the person is confused. Because Allah said in the Quran Kareem, Inna shaitan al-insani aduhum mubin. Shaitan is an open enemy. He is a fountainhead of evil. And now the very fountainhead of evil is absorbing himself in evil. Then there shouldn't be any evil in the world. So, one person was making jalebi nearby. and jalebi normally made in sweet syrup. So what did Shaitan do? Put his finger inside the syrup and just put his finger on the wall. Shaitan went away. Now look at the effect of that. Then fly came and sat on that syrup, enjoying the sweetness of the syrup. Then a lizard happened to go by. The lizard saw the fly, so the lizard went to attack the fly. So while the lizard was enjoying the fly, now there was a rat or a mice nearby. So that rat and mice went and attacked the lizard. Now when the rat was enjoying the lizard, there was a cat nearby. So a cat would enjoy the rat. And while the cat was enjoying the rat, that is when the dog was there. So the dog felt that the cat is enjoying the rat, let me enjoy the cat. So the dog went and attacked the cat. When the dog attacked the cat, now obviously there was a dog nearby, and dogs generally in one community, they are like friends unto each other. So that dog attacked the other dog. So two dogs started fighting. Now two dogs started fighting, the only when the dog came out, and instead of separating the dog, they only started fighting. You know, only they started fighting, now all the friends of these owners, they got together, they started fighting. And then that fight lasted for 400 years. When it started off on one syrup. So Shaitan, although the Shaitan tried to absorb himself, but the Shaitan is indeed a fountainhead of that particular evil. So, if sometimes differences, they start off with a small thing. And generally, when it's a practical aspect of life, with a small difference, you're not going to tolerate that. You'll be forced to tolerate something bigger. Small issue happened in the beginning, you'll have a big summer, overlook it. You know when this big summer overlooked that, then finally it's going to blow out of proportion and it will become like a big mountain. Now what you should have tolerated in the beginning, now you are forced out to tolerate something even more bigger than that. Because you did not tolerate it. That is why it's very, very important when you assess all these differences. And if wine goes out of proportion, if you analyze it, it comes to one point. وَلَا تَتَّبِئِ الْهَوَىٰ. We follow our nafs and desires, and because of that, that all the problems come up. That is why there is a need for places like this, like the Khanqah. Where you come and make the nafs, train ourselves, how we can control our nafs, and how we can divert our nafs to the place of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One way of resolving differences is to make amal on one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ya buniyya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsi, wa laysa fi qalbika ghashun li ahad fafal. Ya buniyya dhalika min sunnati, wa man ahadda sunnati faqad ahaddani, wa man ahadda bi kana ma'i fil jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to tell my child, even if possible for you to spend the morning and the evening in a way that there's no ill feeling in your heart for the next person, then let it happen. Let it be so. Your heart is completely clean. Whatever you see around, your heart is completely clean, no ill feeling. If you have any ill feeling, immediately address it and get it out of your heart. Don't carry on with it all the time. And Nabi Sir mentioned, to have the heart clean and meet one another with a clean heart, that is my sunnah. Whoever has my sunnah, loves me. And whoever loves me, my sunnah, they're going to be with me together like this in Jannat and Paradise. They only put that in front of us. And if the nafs is made, we'll go against our nafs and we'll follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how do you make the nafs? This hadith is very, very easy to mention. To translate it and everything, very easy. But how does the reality of that come into us? You need to come to places like this, like the Khanqah, where you get in touch with the Ahlullah, you get in touch with naked pious people, present your case, train your heart, and to design and cultivate your heart in such a way where it is possible to make amal on this hadith so that you could get the na'iyyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.